Lord's Day here on the Word of Life. We begin our study in John chapter 4. If you'll be opening your Bible there, we'll continue our study, the story of the Samaritan woman, Jesus, and the disciples. remember the point, and I want to make sure to emphasize this to you, that this woman of Samaria that approached Jesus had no idea who she was coming up to. The disciples had no idea what was going to happen when they came back from the city. They just, all of them, were unaware of what was going to go on. And you and I need to be understanding of that fact. We sometimes get down on people in the scripture for not grasping what's going on. I know for years I've heard people talk about doubting Thomas and how terrible it was that Thomas didn't understand that Jesus had been resurrected. Well, nobody understood that. Nobody was anticipating that what Jesus said would come to pass, except for Jesus. When we look here in John chapter 4, we see the involvement of at least four different parties. Of course, one of them is Jesus. Jesus, we're in the process of looking at the glimpses of him through the Gospels. Couldn't begin to describe him in a few words. The woman of the Samaritan city was a woman that probably was ostracized by those in the city. Why did she come when nobody else was at the well? Because nobody wanted her around, probably. The people of the city of Samaria would finally listen to the woman. Now, they, the people of Sychar, they would have had no grasp of what she was saying about Jesus, except that something's going on and maybe they needed a little entertainment, so they went out to see. The disciples had seen enough in Jesus to understand that unexpected things could happen, but they didn't know what it was going to be. The four entities in this story, Jesus, the woman, the people of the city, and the disciples, are all a part of the mosaic of what happened here and the learning that went on. The woman needed to learn some things. The people of the city needed to learn. The disciples needed to learn. And the lesson, actually, that the disciples needed to learn is one that we're going to spend just a little bit of time with today. But we're going to begin back where we were last Lord's Day in John chapter 4. We had got down to verse 25 and 26. Now, I'm not intending, by the way, in this study to do an exhaustive verse-by-verse study. I'm trying to get the picture of what's going on and what Jesus was accomplishing in the hearts and lives of the people that he was talking to. So that's perhaps an excuse that I would offer as to why some of the subjects brought up we're not going to spend a long, long time in looking at. But what we are going to do is see what it caused in the lives of people for Jesus to interact with them. Now, this woman had already admitted honestly that she had no husband. Jesus acknowledged that, said, "You've had five husbands. The one that you're now with is not your husband." This opened the door to further conversation. The end of the conversation that the woman had with Jesus before the disciples return is recorded in verse 25 and 26. And if you remember from last Lord's Day, this is what we read and talked about for just a moment at the end of the program. Let's read these two verses again in John 4, 25 and 26, and let's get a handle on what's going on in the heart and mind of this woman and in the heart and mind of Jesus. "The woman said to Jesus, 'I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'" So let's put together what happened here. The woman wasn't really asking a question, but she was asking a question. She wasn't going to ask, "Are you the Messiah?" But she phrased her words to cause Jesus to answer that question. Her words of verse 25 are simply an acknowledgement that she recognizes that in the prophecies and the scripture, Messiah would arrive at some point. "He will be different than others," she says. "He will declare all things to us." Now, the reason that she would say that, perhaps, was because Jesus had already told her a few things. "Bring your husband." "Well, I don't have a husband." "Well, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're now with is not your husband." Now, listen to that woman's amazement, if you will, at what's going on. He looked into her life and knew things. Is it possible that you could be the Messiah who will tell us all things? Jesus didn't mince any words in verse 26, and notice that he directed his speech to her. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." There was no misunderstanding of what Jesus was saying. There was no lack of the ability to grasp what Jesus was saying. We see that in the rest of the chapter. But what Jesus said, well, you know the phrase that used to go around, it was so quiet in somewhere that you could hear a pin drop. In other words, the effect of the words of Jesus was great. What did the woman think? He just said that he's the Messiah that she was talking about. What would happen? Well, let's begin reading at verse 27, and we'll read down to verse 30. There are two incidents that are talked about in 27 through 30, and then verse 31 through 38, that occur simultaneously. And let me give you an overview really quickly. It appears that as the woman runs back to town to tell people and convince them to come out, the disciples have arrived, and the conversation they have is going on at the same time that the woman is in town. We'll read part of the story right now, 27 through 30. At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the man, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. Now, the reason that the people would react that way could very easily be understood. Perhaps the word of what Jesus had been doing miraculously had gotten to them. Maybe the events of Jerusalem, the Passover time that Nicodemus referred to. No one is a teacher from God unless they do the signs that you're doing. You know, this kind of thing that was said. Perhaps word of all this had gotten around. And the woman comes and says, "Is this him?" And they all start traveling out there. Everybody knew where the well was. It was kind of the gathering place. What happens in the meantime is what we read from verse 31 to 38. Now, verse 39 records, by the way, from that city many of the Samaritans believed, which means that they did arrive out there, and whatever happened with the disciples was occurring during that time period. So let's read verse 31 to 38 and listen again to the text and what is said to have occurred. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Now, I want to offer a supposition on my part before we get into the text and what's said here. At the end of verse 35, where Jesus says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest." You remember how we talked about how the woman was back in town and she was talking to people and they were beginning to come out to see Jesus? I've always got the feeling, and that's all it is, I want you to understand, that the end part of verse 35 is talking about Jesus looking at the crowds, perhaps from the city, coming out to see him. He says, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. In other words, it is the time to teach. It is the time to deal with these people coming here. This is not the only time that a mob approached Jesus. If you remember, the night before his crucifixion, there was a garden that Jesus was in. And after hours of prayer, Jesus said, wake up, look, behold the hand of the one betraying me, as the mob approached. In just a few moments, we'll deal with what's said in these verses. Right now, a song.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that this day is worth living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
He cares for you.
And we see, beginning in verse 31, the expected response of the disciples as they arrive back with Jesus. We want you to eat, Jesus. We want you to eat some of the food. Now, if you notice, back in earlier in the chapter, we've already seen the fact that the disciples had gone into the city to get food. They come back in verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, Rabbi, eat. That's totally expected. We understand, and they thought they were pretty well aware of what was going on and everything. The interesting thing was that as aware as they thought they were, they did not really know what was happening. Jesus shows it in a very simple way here. They tell him to eat. He says, I've got food to eat that you don't know about. They don't get it. Look at verse 33. No one brought him anything to eat, did he? The conversation is just progressing here. So Jesus, so to speak, takes the bull by the horns and begins to explain to them what he's talking about. He first begins by defining what he was talking about. In verse 34, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents took him up to the Passover in Jerusalem? and where he stayed behind. Remember, they had gone journeying back home, and they had to come back and look for him. You remember what he was doing? There in Jerusalem, he was at the temple. And when his parents came to him, here he was talking to the teachers of the law, asking questions and telling them things. And lo and behold, Mama says to him, "Son, why did you do this?" And he said, "Don't you know that I've got to be about my Father's business?" Same thing here. Jesus knew that it was time that he be doing what his Father wanted him to do. And he said that he, essentially, had been eating already. "I have food to eat that you don't know about." You know what Jesus was doing? He was doing his Father's will and talking to this woman and in planting seed in her heart that would lead to her understanding. Jesus says that in verse 34. From verse 35 down to verse 38, Jesus reminds us of something that we are oh so prone to forget. And that is that all the time that we are saying we need to look for the opportunity to teach, the opportunity to teach is right there in front of us. Were the disciples as tuned in to the idea of the Samaritan woman understanding Christ, understanding who he is, who he can be to her? Were they as in tune with that as Jesus was? Well, the answer is no, they weren't. As you look at this passage, what you see Jesus begin to do is to unfold an understanding. Some people would say, well, it's not time to teach this woman now. Let's put this off. And Jesus said, now is the time for harvest. This is the time to take in, to be involved with, not to let an opportunity go by. Now, I want you to hold your hand here at John chapter 4, and we're going to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 9 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 9 records a very interesting statement of Jesus along this same line, and perhaps we can gain something from looking at what Jesus said here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, we read these words. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest." I want you to get it in your head that what Jesus had as his mindset was that the people around him were people to be taught. They were people to be influenced to serve God and to get involved in the things of God. So many times today we sell ourselves short on this. I've heard Christians saying, well, people just don't want to hear anymore. They just don't want to sit down and study anymore and learn what the Bible says. There are some that don't. I freely acknowledge that. To use that as an excuse, however, to disobey what Jesus said of going into all the world and preaching the gospel is the wrong use of the words. What Matthew 9 talks about is the same thing that we see Jesus talking to the disciples about in John 4. Now turn your Bible back there and look at the statement Jesus makes. In the end of verse 35, we referred to this a while ago. "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white for harvest." Now I doubt seriously that as they walked into Samaria, the 12 were saying things like, "Oh my, what an opportunity to teach. Look at all these people that we can touch. Let's just get involved in this." I doubt that's what they were saying. They probably were saying, "Do we have to go this way? People are going to get in our way. It's so nice to have quiet where there's nobody around." When they got to the well, perhaps they were saying those words. But you see, Jesus had something to eat that they didn't know about. And he was taking in that wonderful meal of serving God. Now, in the meantime, the woman has gone into town. She has encouraged the people and challenged them to come and to see about this Jesus. Begin reading with me at verse 39. We read down to verse 42. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all the things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." We'll deal with a few of those thoughts in just a couple of minutes. Right now, a song.
God's family we find, loving friends and peace of mind. Oh, what joy sharing Christ as our King. In sweet fellowship we share his own gentle, tender care. Here at home in his love, rich and
program next week, what we're going to do is digest what happened as a result of Jesus coming into this city. You've got to understand that there is a growth of belief registered all the way through the Gospel of John. We'll see the same thing here. Now remember, read John chapter 4 and join us next week here on the Word of Life as we begin to delve into what happened to these people. God bless you.